Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Atlanta! I'm sick of it. What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey man. It is a beautiful day outside. It is not a beautiful day for our Atlanta Hawks. And before we get into tonight's contest with the Celtics, which we will talk about, Mike Bell, I'm sick of losing in the fashion that we continue to lose in. Last night was the ugliest loss for this team all season, and we've had some ugly ones. We've had some very disgusting, make you feel like this team's not going to go anywhere kinds of losses. But when the Cavs have lost 10 in a row, Mike Bell, and you blow the game the way we did at the end, Trey, you're at fault. Lloyd Pierce, you're at fault. Everybody's at fault. Mike, I am so tired of seeing this play over and over and over and over.
Right. I mean, look, everybody gets some blame. You're right about that. You know, Trey missed some shots. First off, you could have blown these guys out, but they were putting us down in the first because we couldn't hit anything. You know, and I'm a big fan of Clint Capella. Clint missed. It was Allie. He was definitely providing the oops, you know, and missing some shots. You know, it's aggravating because Trey had some decent looks. He's not supposed to take the shot that early in the shot clock, okay? We all know that, okay? As the clock's winding down, you gave the Cavs a chance to basically go and get into a half court and take it right to the rack. But then what is on Lloyd Pierce is there's no freaking reason to sub Gallinari in for Clint Capella. That, I mean, that's basic stuff. This isn't like next level, okay? You know, this isn't like we're talking to like Dennis Scott on NBA TV about this, okay? This is like basic stuff. So Lloyd Pierce, if you keep this up, you're going to be out of a job because the Hawks are expected to go to the playoffs this year. Tony Ressler and certainly Schlenk, because now Schlenk's on the line. You know, now you're messing with Schlenk's plan because Ressler's going to be looking at Schlenk, Carl, and go, what the hell are we doing here? You know, because the Cavs are one of the worst teams in the league, and we just got to take care of business.
They're terrible, Mike. They're awful. And to lose that game last night, you know what? And I hope we win tonight, all right? I hope we do. But right now, I'm so frustrated with the way this team has responded. Yeah, Trey had 28 and 12. So what? We're not winning.
No, he should have had 36. He missed a bunch of shots he needed to make in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely. And then on top of this, okay, and this is not even concerning our team. We've got enough issues to worry about. I roll out of the rack this morning, and then what do I see? Damn Luka hitting another game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, great, here we go. Luka, look at Luka. Oh, he did it in the bubble. Meanwhile, we're finding ways to blow games. Guys, we're 13 and 18, okay? Season's not over, but to Mike's point, if this thing keeps rolling the way it is and we keep falling apart late in games and not understanding time, shot clock, when I need to shoot, okay, we've got to lead. There was no reason to rush. I thought we rushed our last three or four possessions, Mike. I really did. So I'm frustrated today. I know many folks are feeling the same way I am when it comes to our Hawks. Now, they do have the Celtics in town tonight. As I said, we'll get into all of that. But, Mike, how do you fix what's going on right now? And everybody now, just to your point a few weeks ago, you said, I'm going to lay off of Lloyd Pierce, right? And I said, okay, cool. You said, I'm going to give it a month. Well, it's been 2 weeks, and I know you can't be feeling any better about how this thing is going.
No, and again, I know John Collins was out in the second half, and we talked about the injuries. But, again, this is still a really bad basketball team that has lost 10 in a row. You had them down. You had to just do some basic stuff, okay? Either work the clock. Trey, that's on Trey. Trey cannot shoot that shot at that point. He's got to have better situational awareness, as does Lloyd Pierce as far as his sub packages. And I said this on Twitter, and I look, you know me, bro. I feel that every single team in this town screws up on their own, okay? On their own individual screw-ups.
Yes.
We have a collective Atlanta-itis, whether it's the Bulldogs, Alabama, you know, on a second and forever, whether it's the Falcons in a 25-point lead. They shouldn't be interconnected, but fans can't help but do that and call it a curse. But when you have Lloyd Pierce challenging calls the way Dan Quinn challenged calls, the way Raheem Morris did, this is like so freaking stupid. I looked it up because I knew we were going to be talking about it today. Last regular season in the 19 to 20 season, Carl. According to Sports Illustrated, the NBA official, the challenge rate was 42%. It was 40% in the playoffs, 44% in the regular season. So it averages out to 42% of the time you're going to get it overturned. It's literally a flip of the coin. And you're not going to get it. And Lloyd doesn't get it. And we lose a timeout that maybe we would have used to perhaps have our together down the stretch. It's just infuriating.
It is. It is. And Lloyd said last night, and we'll let you hear, you know, what he said to the morning show, because we don't know. It looks like John Collins probably won't be available. If not tonight, then that means he's going to miss a few other games. And that may even take us into the All-Star break, which is a whole nother story with Trae Young. But he said last night, this is Lloyd Pierce, after the game, that I thought we needed, you know, one more play. One more play? We needed more than one more play. He said, I thought we needed one more, just a couple of possessions down the stretch. Yeah, and that's the awareness that Mike is talking about. And by the way, this whole young team thing, I get it. Trey's in his third year. We're going to pay Trae a max contract, okay? He's going to get a max deal, and rightfully so. But I'm done making excuses about how young the team is. I know everybody in the NBA is dealing with this non-practice thing, okay? And I don't want to use it as an excuse, because teams that are doing this as well as the Hawks are having success. But the deal is, teams are not able to practice as much as we've seen them or been able to in the past, simply because of the schedule, guys, and the way things work out. I know this is a factor across the NBA. But let's not make excuses for games we should win.
Right. And you, look, you touched on it. The season has not even reached the All-Star break. We got some basketball to play. DeAndre Hunter's going to miss a lot of it, but you still preach patience. But, guys, fans don't want to hear that, Carl. Fans are just looking at it and saying, okay, you're five games under. If this was the Braves five games under, we'd say, fine. You know, this team's got a proven track record. They won the division 3 years in a row. This Hawks team has accomplished nothing.
Nothing.
And they're trending the wrong way. So, again, I mean, look, a guy said to me on Twitter, to your point, Mike, you continuing that moratorium on criticizing Lloyd Pierce. I go, I don't have to. Everyone else is. The ownership is going to be asking questions. Because I said, Travis Schlenk's plan starts to come into question when these things continue to happen.
What do you guys think, man? Where are you at on this? 404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can follow us across all social media platforms. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. And this radio station, follow us at 929 The Game. Of course, we're live on Twitch at ATL 929 The Game. And we're on the gram as well, guys. Plenty of ways to interact with the program. I do want to get a pulse of what's going on. I get the sense, Mike, that most people right now, with the way that we've lost games, and you know, we're all looking for somebody to blame.
Right.
So most of that is in the direction of Lloyd Pierce, okay? And I'll say this. It's unfair. It really is to say that Nate McMillan was on the sideline for two games and this team had a different energy. Stop. They did what they needed to do. I thought Nate said it right. They did some things we've been asking them to do that they haven't been able to consistently do. So I'm not going to use the whole Nate McMillan thing. He's on the staff. That's great. The coach right now is Lloyd Pierce, and it is up to Lloyd to get these guys either to respond or, to Mike's point, make some right decisions at the end of ball games, or in his own right, make good coaching decisions at the end of games that help us win. That's where we are right now. And I'm upset because we're better than this record. We're better than the Cavs, who had lost 10 straight. We're better than when the Mavs came in here and had been on a 5 or 6 game losing streak and we let them out of the building with a W. Those are the ones that come back to bite you, Mike. Are we better than the Lakers right now? Probably not. The Jazz? No. Portland? No. There are some teams that are just better than we are right now. But these teams, you can't lose these games.
No, I mean, as I said, there's supposed to be, and I know I'm preaching the same thing I was doing last year. There's supposed to be a progression. All right, let's cry over spilt milk. We didn't make the bubble last year. We didn't get a chance to showcase Trae. This is the year this team has got to take a leap. They've got to take a step to the playoffs. Because, again, you've got the fans' attention. That's the thing. More people are watching. As bad as this basketball is, more people are watching it. I'm getting more tweets. I'm getting more people texting me. Again, today at the gym, I had a guy talk to me about it. He's like, you believe this crap? I go, no. So, I mean, people. They want to be engaged, but you keep this up, they're going to disengage. Okay? People want to be able to get tickets if they're comfortable enough to go down to the arena with COVID. But if you can't get this thing on track, even when we're back to normal, there's not a lot of people are going to go watch a team that's winning 20 games again.
So one of the things that got us excited, not last year, because the 2020 was crazy and then we didn't get in the bubble. But the year before, right? And even at times last year, Mike, we were exciting to watch. There was something to be said about building for the future because we were exciting to watch. Now you're losing games you should win, and you're not really that exciting. And I can't explain that, okay? I really can't. So I'm just putting it out there. This is where we're at. This is what's going on. If you guys disagree or you think it's something else, please tell us. But that's really also bugging me is as I watch this team, I'm like, okay, what are we missing? There was something, Mike, you said it a few years ago as this thing got rolling in Trey, and we're going, hey, we're not winning games, but we're exciting.
Right.
I think part of this is being taken away is because the way we're losing games last night. Last night at the end of that game is what coaches call a scramble. Basically, you just pick up whoever you get to and you try to DM up because they didn't have a timeout to use. But we give up a dunk. I mean, at the rim.
Well, that's just it. Just like last year and the year before with the Falcons, we would come on the radio on Monday and you and I would be like shaking our heads. I've seen enough. You can't imagine how the Falcons are finding new ways to blow leads, lose games. You know, like the Lions play where all Gurley has to do is fall down at the 1 yard
right,
line.
Right.
I mean, and I heard Andy and Randy talking about it earlier, and I agree. I'm watching this last night. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And Gallinari's in. And by the way, what's that Gallinari move? I'll take one stutter step and I'll fake him out. No, you got to take the. Get in there. Put your body on him. Do something. I mean, don't make a business decision as the clock is ticking down at 000. Every night, you know, the Mavs had a 7-game losing streak. They went against us. This team's got a 10-game losing streak. They went against us. Trey's missing some shots. We're missing alley-oops to Capella. You know, I mean, it's mind-blowing. And by the way, guys get fired all the time. And I know this is Atlanta, and Carl and I, we said, no more preambles, no more but. Ryan Saunders, whoever he is, got fired from the Timberwolves, okay? Coaches get fired all the time. Travis Schlenk at some point is going to have to come to a decision on this unless they get this thing turned around. So, look, Lloyd Pierce, it's not like he doesn't know it. This is a business, okay? And the business, these guys get hired to get fired. That's the nature of it, Carl. He's got it. We're not telling him anything he doesn't know. I don't know if Nate McMillan would be any better. He flamed out in Indianapolis. Well, I mean, I don't know where. I mean, we had a listener last week say, hell, man, we could call D'Antoni. I go, well, at least be exciting. We'll lose 156 to 154.
Yeah, but that, you're right. But that doesn't win in the playoffs, right? And that's the big, that's the long term goal. I didn't think Nate should have gotten fired, by the way, in Indy. And that's a lot of people around the NBA felt the same way. Either way, I want to focus on who is the coach. And I'm not going to give this job to somebody who's not the head coach yet. And because we're all frustrated and we want to see change or you want to see something different. I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see this team finish a freaking game. I want to see some guys, Gallinari, put something on the line and show us that you're in it. That's what I want to see. It's not all Lloyd Pierce. To your point, Mike, some of these plays that should have been made last night, that's guys on the floor. All right, man, we got plenty to talk about. I got a lot of stuff going on, too, Mike. I got a woodpecker issue. I got my daughter telling me that there is a guy. I got to tell this story.
And I peed on an armadillo last night. It's all on the way on Dukes and Bell.
You have to. They'll leave the house. All right, man, coming up, the latest on Tiger. I know everybody's talking about it still. We'll get you caught up on the latest information here on Dukes and Bell. All the input from our listeners, as usual, guys going in. Some people saying Trey's getting the bulk of the blame here, Mike. I think he deserves some. I do think when you're the star, and at the end of games, we just complained 2 weeks ago about him being more aggressive and making plays and all this stuff at the end of games, you have to have court awareness and you know exactly as far as the time left on the clock. And I thought he took an early shot. I really did. I thought it didn't help. Obviously, the defense, you know, gave him an easy bucket at the other end, but I don't think that helped. I think, as I said, blame goes all the way around. Trey last night was as much blame as all the other guys, whether it was Solomon Hill. Pick your guy.
No, he's as culpable, as you said, as Lloyd Pierce is. Like I said, there's enough blame to go around for everybody. Lloyd made a totally ridiculous substitution that, again, it became highlighted just how stupid it was when Gallinari can't do anything as the ball is coming right to the basket in the form of a dunk. Yeah, I mean, you got to make better decisions with the ball. Point guard's got to know that, Carl. That's basketball 101. Again, it's not like we're asking to do something that guys don't know how to do. So, again, how do you fix it? And is Lloyd Pierce the guy to fix it? And I know a couple of guys brought up on Twitter real quick before we get to some of the other things that they felt that he got a raw deal up in Indianapolis based on some of the injuries that he had to deal with up there.
Yeah, you're talking about Nate McMillan. Yeah, yep. I think most people around basketball realize it was a raw deal for him. He shouldn't have been fired. His team was playing well. They competed. I mean, it was one of those things where you know, internally you had some things going on and guys get got. But I don't think you look at the job that Nate McMillan did and when he did a bad job there. I thought he did a good job, which is one of the reasons, another reason why people wonder why he didn't get another job after being fired in Indy. And so he ends up being an assistant here. Either way, I'm glad he's here. I don't want to talk about, and this is me, McMillan, until something's done. If something's done and he becomes the head coach, that's great. But everybody's just assuming like that's going to happen. We can right this ship. We can still go to the playoffs. We can still do all the things we want to do. But Mike said it. They're trending in the wrong direction. That's the problem. So how does that get fixed? Okay. And right now, Lloyd Pierce is the face as far as the head coach, and that's the guy that I'm pointing the finger at and saying, hey, how do you fix this? McMillan's a guy that's just on the bench, but I understand why people are interested in him because he does have head coaching experience. But I just think that's unfair to say, well, McMillan's here and it's going to happen. We don't know that. We don't know. Even if Lloyd gets got, maybe he's the interim, but is he the long-term guy here? We don't know if that happens. So that's a lot of speculating, Mike, from folks that just maybe don't see Lloyd Pierce as the guy. And I don't know that yet. I've been saying this. There's been no pressure on him the last few years, so I haven't worried about it. But now you've said it. People are paying attention. There's an expectation for this team. It's just what it is.
Right. I mean, look, there's been some issues that I brought up last year with half court and said, I'm not really sure what's going on here. And again, you just laid it out. Now people have expectations. This team invested $150 million in some guys. Well, now, again, that's also, in fairness, beyond Lloyd Pierce. It's not his fault that Bogdanovich ain't out there, that Rondo's right. not out there, that Snell's not out. All these guys that we added, which make perfect sense. And we thought, wow, we might be a fifth seed, maybe even better in the East. Well, right now we're just scrambling to grind out a playoff trip and hope that we can make it when DeAndre Hunter gets back.
So we're good enough to beat the Cavs, and we didn't. We should have beat the Mavs when they came in here on that losing streak, and we gave them life. And they're not great either, by the way. I mean, again, they're seventh or eighth in the Western Conference. The West is a beast. So they're not killing the competition, but you see that they're finding ways to win games late. And Luka hits another game winner, and immediately people want to go to that card, right? They want to play that card. We're blowing games. And so when you're doing that, that's the people don't look at you in the same fashion, even though Dallas is not a great team. Nevertheless, we'll see what we do tonight against the Celtics. Mike, yesterday we spent a lot of time on Tiger Woods, and rightfully so. It's the biggest story in the world. It really was. I mean, yesterday everybody was talking about it, news outlets, sports outlets, everybody. So now we know he's out of surgery. He's recovering. He's been awake. And I just think everybody, you know, it's funny because now everybody's talking about, will he win a major again? Will he play again? Right. Will he walk? You know what I mean? Is he going to be able to walk 18? I mean, forget about playing and all this stuff. So I think there's so many unknowns right now with Tiger Woods.
Right. And it's funny. I was talking to a couple of guys today about Ben Hogan because, you know, immediately we brought this up yesterday. For those who don't know, Ben Hogan was about 37 years of age in 1949. He served in World War II. And back in the day, the guys would drive from tournament to tournament. And he got hit by a bus. I mean, literally a head-on collision as a bus crossed the yellow. And he was, I mean, broke his pelvis, broke his collarbone. The guy comes back, Carl. I think Chasing the Sun is the movie, the biopic. But anyway, he comes back, and he wins the U.S. Open the next year. Okay, but by the time he had the best years of his career, I think it was 53, he was 40 to be 41. But he also, like Tiger, Carl, he picked his spots. He would only compete in like five or six tournaments a year.
Gotcha.
And but Ben Hogan would always, you know, get up for the majors because the guy was a killer. He had a high pain threshold. Who's that sound like? Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, yeah. Won Torrey Pines on one knee. So I'm never going to count Tiger out, but just based on what I read and you read today about the surgery and how complex it was and what has to happen, I'm just happy we get to see Tiger in a senior tour event at some point, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm wrong. I mean,
I know.
If ever
I
there's
know.
A guy who's going to do it, we know Tiger Woods has got the toughness, the physical and the mental toughness. But, Carl, the guy wasn't even sure he was going to make the Masters with the latest back surgery, and then you throw this thing in the mix.
Yeah. And by the way, I know the leg is what we're focused on. How did this – guys, that car tumbled. How did that affect his back? You ever been involved in an accident? I mean, just a fender bender.
And oh, your neck, times, everything, right?
Yeah,
right.
How many times guys are like, oh, yeah, I'm all right, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, damn, my neck hurts. I mean, the car turned over and over. I don't even know what that means for his back, let alone the leg injuries and how that's going to heal. So I'm with you, Mike. I'm happy that he's okay, that he made it out of surgery, that this was not life-threatening injuries. As we, you know, immediately thought yesterday, we saw this car and the accident and as things shook out. But as far as the golf, I'm going to wait. I mean, I just am. I don't know. Do I want him to play? Absolutely. But, Mike, that last Masters win, the one that we see now where Charlie comes out and he hugs his dad and it's reminiscent of him hugging his father, and it was just so perfect. And, you know, if that is the last major he ever wins, I don't know if you can go out any better than that. You know, I don't know if you can end any better than what he did just a few, you know, years ago, a couple of years ago. But if he's able to come back and somehow find a way to compete and play again, it would be great just for the game and for sports and all that. But I don't know, man.
No, like I said, you know, we got both of us are friends that are, you know, orthopedic doctors and folks in rehab and all that. I mean, we're obviously talking about a Tiger, a guy who's in, you know, tip-top shape, but was still just able to work on putts and barely work on chips and short game because of the back issues. He was going to have to really hope that things went his way, Carl, to get there for the Masters. So, I mean, you're right. You take a car wreck, man. Most of us are jammed up for 10 days to 2 weeks. And we're taking Advil every day. We got ice packs. You know, you get the big neck brace on. And I'm not talking about calling an ambulance chaser lawyer. I'm just saying you're legitimately jacked up. And now we're like, I got guys yesterday on Twitter. I think he can come back in time. What the are you talking about?
You're crazy.
I mean, let's just talk about a quality of life that he can walk, pick up his kids, hang out, play golf with his son, let alone play in a tournament.
So, you know, and by the way, I've not had 4 major back surgeries. I've not had reconstructive surgery on my knee. I certainly haven't had a fused, you know, anything. Mike, it hurts for me to walk 18.
Okay? I know. Oh, you ain't lying.
It hurts for me on a day where you go, all right, yeah, you're going to need a caddy and you need to, you know, we went down to Kiawah Island, right? And you have to walk 18. It hurts. I mean, I was sore. It's one of those. So now you're asking a guy, you're asking a lot, man. And that's why today I said, I got to put my personal feelings aside about this because I'm being very selfish. I am. I'm just like, he'll come back and he'll play. He just may not.
Right. I mean, dude, I'm 52. If you're in your car right now or at home on your computer, if this was scratch and sniff radio, all you'd smell is BioFreeze right now. I got it on my neck. I got it on my knee. Yeah.
I did see you limping around the other day. How's that you feeling, by the way?
No, it's good. Just because, now, by the way, I told this story to Carl. I didn't tell you guys. On Monday's show, we had issues. It was citywide stuff with the internet, and our return was really bad, so I couldn't really hear the station. I was, during the commercial breaks, running outside, dealing with the guy who was trying to fix my Wi-Fi and my internet, and then I leave the garage door open, so all of a sudden, Becky's like, the dog! And the dog literally runs 3 blocks away. Thank God we got this nice old lady 3 blocks away. She goes, oh, does he want a belly rub? That's the only way we got him to stop. And then Becky had him. So I was literally, I think it was at 6:15, I kept running back up. I'm like, so I don't even know if I made any sense the last 45 minutes of the show. A lot of stuff going on. Meanwhile, real quick, what's going on in your world? I know a lot of stuff happened in Stately Duke's Manor.
Yeah, listen, we'll spread some of this out. I'll share maybe one in one of the guy talks. This woodpecker issue. We talked about our game winner last night was, how do you keep critters away, right? And we asked about snakes. You've got an armadillo,
right?
We talked about possums. So I hadn't really talked about this. I told Bo a few weeks ago that we just constantly heard this on the side of the house.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I'm like, what the hell? So I go out there, and these two birds, if you're on Twitch right now, these two birds are literally about this size. They're not huge. Like, I went out there, I thought this thing would have, like, an enormous beak. You know, it like, stare me down. It was evil. Nope. They're two
tiny,
tiny woodpeckers. And then they had the audacity, like, I went out there, and they're just, and I'm like, yo! They stopped, looked at me, and it was almost like, can we help you? And went back to, and I'm like, they're destroying the siding on the side of the house. All right, so we're finally trying to find ways to get rid of these things. And a guy called yesterday, and he said, you know, get an owl. We've heard that.
Right.
So what I didn't know is Michelle, she had ordered some stuff like this ugly. I want to take a picture of it and post it. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And apparently it like twirls in the wind and it's supposed to keep these animals away. But she is adamant about, we've got to try something. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know if that's going to work. So we've been going back and forth. So finally today she pulled a Becky. She was tool time. She had all the tools out. She's putting this thing on the side of the house. And I'm like, nice. This is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Is it sturdy? Is it going to, you know, if it storms? So I am really annoyed with these woodpeckers. And so not only that, Mike, the damage they've caused, now I got to get fixed.
Right, right. No, last night I took your advice and I used my natural scent to hopefully keep the armadillo away. I sent you that text. I don't believe I could read that on the air. We'd get in trouble.
It was funny, though.
Let's just say I texted Carl, it's time for Operation Armadillo Golden Hour. How's that? And so, needless to say, I drank a six of Hey Man. I think I might have had two more Tecates, and then I did my job last night. So we'll see if the armadillo gets out of Dodge.
I'm sure he will. He's going to be like, ooh, this is funky. All right, man, we're going to get to some headlines. There are some other things going on, including the Braves at spring training. We'll hear from our coach, Lloyd Pierce, concussion to John Collins. We don't know. I don't think he's going to be available. And ask Mike Conti if he knows anything at the station, if you would, Chris. I've not heard anything whether he's going to be available tonight, but he could miss a few games. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our man Mike Conti says 5:45, the injury report comes out. So we'll find out whether or not John Collins is going to be available tonight against the Celtics. I hope he is. But, Mike, I don't really even know what the concussion protocol is in the NBA, to be honest with you. I mean, the NFL is one thing, but, all right, so you got elbowed. It happens. And then, you know, I'm using that as an example. Usually guys come back, right? I mean, you're not out 2 weeks.
Well, it depends. Are you on a road trip? In which case, load management comes into mind. But again, it's Boston at Atlanta, so we'll find out, my brother.
All right, we'll wait 5:45. So we'll know more a little bit later on in the show.
I gotta be honest.
I was just gonna say the game's on tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
No, I mean last night I was even Bob Rathbun was getting fired up last night, and I heard
what
I heard
was the, Bob saying Bob. Well, by the way,
Nick, this is just unbelievable to take a shot. You've got to have the situational awareness, Nick, don't you? That the shot clock is going to give the other team a chance to come down to the floor and make a bucket.
So, yes. Nick's like, that's effed up, Bob. I mean, yeah, Nick was having none of it last night. And, of course, our man, Steve Holman. We got, by the way, Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot, but at some point we'll pull Holman's audio because Holman's like, we're going to lose to the Cavaliers. We're going to lose to the stinking Cavaliers.
You know,
Steve wears his heart on his sleeve as well he should.
Yeah, it's just tough. Again, if you're just joining us.
A 10-game losing streak, Nick, snapped by the incompetence of your Atlanta Hawks.
It was tied 84-84 entering the fourth quarter, which was fine. But then we took command of the game, and then we blew it in the last minute, basically, the last minute 20 of the game. So with that said, we're talking a lot about the Hawks and where are you at on this team. How frustrated are you? As a great meme somebody sent me, I just retweeted it. I think it came from Ree versus Ree. And basically, she says, I just want to smack some of these guys on the Hawks team. And then there's a meme, I think it's from the Chappelle Show, just slapping people.
Yeah, walking out, just boom, 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 up in D.C.
But you know, that's how you feel. It's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. But we'll see how they compete tonight. I need to see this competitive spirit and this energy night in and night out. I just don't. I don't see it every night. And that's, I know it's a long season and these games and the schedule. And by the way, the second part of the schedule set to come out. We'll know more about what that's going to look like here in the next few days. I don't want any excuses. You know, we got the youngest legs in the league. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. And the other
and
thing
it
is.
It will be Sexton. Sexton gets it in the lane and a slam dunk down the lane with 4 seconds to go. And the Cavaliers lead 112 to 111. Trae Young back, 1 second, and that's the game. That timeout the Hawks didn't have cost them dearly. And they blow a game to the Cavaliers, a team that had lost 10 in a row. What a horrible loss.
Yes, yes.
What, probably the worst loss of the year.
It was.
No argument here, Steve. Yeah, yeah. But I just love, Steve was on a slow burn all night, and I love how he just kind of reached a crescendo.
And they blow a game to the Cavaliers, a team that had lost 10 in a row. What a horrible loss.
It is. That's how I felt. Dude, I turned the TV off. I literally turned the TV off. It was just like, I'm just, what are you going to say? What are we doing?
Hey, And by the way, it's pretty funny. I want a shout out to my buddy David Goldman, who worked in sales at when I worked up in Washington D.C. And I had the Bullets tickets for 2 years when they were the Bullets. Carl, I wore the shirt today, and thanks to Dave because he lives here in Metro Atlanta now. He works with an ad agency, but I know bad basketball, Carl. I've seen a team win 46 games in two seasons, so I know what bad basketball looks like. I mean, we need to get this thing turned around, bro. Because fans, the good news is you got fans interested and they're passionate and they're not taking this sitting down. They're upset. The worst thing we say, how many times have you and I said this the last couple of years? The worst thing can be, and Steve, again, our bud Steve Kuna knows this, when people aren't talking about you, when they've given up hope. They've just simply, mush, and I'll let me know, wake me up when they get good again.
Yeah. No, it's that not caring is the worst. But I'm not there.
No.
I'm just PO'd. We got to right the ship, and we got to do it quickly. We got to start finding ways to win games that we should win. And that is the most important thing I want you to hear from me today. It's not games against the elite top five, you know, teams that are over 500 that are going to be potentially in the NBA finals. Those are give and take. If you're in those games right now, great. I don't see us as a championship quality team, but we are a playoff team. And that is the belief of a lot of people around the league, but we're not playing like it. We're not finishing. All right, man, plenty to get to here on the program, including our NFL Blitz. It's 15 minutes away. Braves are going to enter the season with Will Smith as the closer. We'll dive into that. As Dave O'Brien told us the other day, this what this bullpen is going to look like. Right now, Chris behind the glass, our engineer, Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's hear from Lloyd Pierce. He was on the morning show with John and Hugh this morning and talked about John Collins and this concussion.
It's a big loss. I mean, I thought he was having a great game, 13 points in that first half yesterday. To miss him was tremendous. And to miss him, if we potentially miss him for the protocol, he's probably going to be out until the break. And we're depleted as it is, so.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying. It's not
so next
be,
week at least then yeah, for him. All right.
One game. It won't be just tonight. That's the thing. Yeah, he'll have to sit out. Meanwhile, we really haven't even dove into this. I really thought Trey would make the All-Star team as a reserve. He does not. Doesn't mean he won't be involved in some of the activities that go on March 7th with that All-Star night, that made-for-TV event. Again, limited fans. Don't come to Atlanta. You guys know. We've heard all the stuff. But they're going to do this game, and, you know, it is an honor to be selected one way or another. But Lloyd Pierce was asked about Trey and what he feels like is a snub on the All-Star team.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think he's had a tremendous year, an All-Star year, without a doubt. It's you know, just judging by the way teams play him, he's at the forefront of everyone's scouting report with the blitzes, the denials, the box and ones. I think more than any player in this league, if you were to ask me. And so it's a sign of respect in terms of how teams are playing him, and he's backing it up with his play. And so it's unfortunate, and I'm sure that weighed on him, but I thought he came out and was competitive and gave us a fighting chance all night.
How much does this play on Trey, Mike? Do you think it does?
I hope not. I mean, if anything, I hope, like, you know, we always say this anytime there's been, you know, it's happened historically when guys get snubbed or they feel they've been disrespected, that they turn that inwards and they use that as a fire that they're going to fuel that whatever they're going to do in the second half of the season. I mean, I hope that's the case. I mean, the numbers, it's just plain asinine. Look, I know Ben Simmons plays great defense. I get it. And I know that, you know, he's a guy that was, you know, preordained that he was going to be something in the NBA from the TV show, following him all the way through college. Dude can't hit a freaking jump shot, okay? And he's considered one of the elite players in the league. The numbers that, if you hadn't seen it, StatMuse put it out there. Trae Young, the first player in 30 years to average 25 points plus 9 assists in a season and not make an All-Star team.
Yeah, it's true. So, now how you feel about this? We told you guys a few days ago, we both thought he'd be on the team as far as a reserve. I do feel like this was a snub, even though the team is not playing great. But that's not it. I mean, there are other teams that have representatives on this team that are not playing great either. And not, you know, they're not the top of the standings. Either way, that's the situation with Trae Young. Mike, let's talk about the Braves real quick. Christian Pache says that Ender Inciarte has been incredibly gracious with his time every year. And he said he truly appreciates Ender's willingness as a Gold Glove winner to work with him. So basically you have a guy that we know Ender won't be here long term. He's got another year here this season. We know Pache is the future of this franchise in center field, But that's cool to hear that, you know, this is not a Brett Favre situation where Ender's like, whatever, kid, do what you want. He's at least trying to help him out to grow his ability. That's cool.
We talked about it. I mean, Ender just a couple of years ago was, you know, a guy that could hit around 300. That could give you, obviously, we know the glove has always been the gold standard and the gold glove. But, yeah, that's great to hear. And I don't know. I've never heard anything bad about Ender. So that's a class act. That's a good vibe in the clubhouse. So, I mean, now it's just time for Pache, as we said the other day. Dave O'Brien does not believe that they're going to keep him in the minors, that Pache will be with the big club when they break camp.
I hope so, man. We're going to talk more Braves coming up in about 25 minutes. The bullpen situation, one of the concerns that we had. When we come back, though, Steelers say we want him back. It's next.
And they blow a game to the Cavaliers, a team that had lost 10 in a row. What a horrible loss.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.